With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sins. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. So you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where Australia came down from whatever tournament they'd been playing to ruin the utterly compelling one that all the other nations were competing in, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
What on earth did Lisa Healy have for breakfast this morning?
I can tell you what she had, and I'm going there tomorrow. She had this giant hot cake from this place up the road that looked like it had so much sugar in it and calories in it. So I think everyone needs to have a hot cake for breakfast the day of a final, because she was unbelievable tonight.
That was Beth Mooney talking about Alyssa Healy's breakfast before the World Cup. You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and this is a brand new episode of Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. So what did you have for breakfast?
I actually haven't even had breakfast this morning, but I was going to have a little bit of yogurt for breakfast, but certainly I'd prefer a hot cake.
Yeah, I think I'd better have a hot cake now, because I need some energy. I need to do the equivalent of 170 run innings for this podcast.
Yep, definitely. Yes.
And we also have another clip. We usually only have the one clip at the opening here, but we did have another one. It was too difficult to choose between them. So we got another one here. This one's Meg Lanning being asked a question about the final.
What does it mean for you to not only come away as winners of any World Cup, but particularly the winners of this World Cup?
Yeah, it's been a grouse tournament, to be fair. Like, it's been amazing.
So, yeah, Meg Lanning, a grouse tournament. I think that sums it up pretty well for Australia, doesn't it?
And I think Alyssa Healy was there on the bench with her doing that press. And she was giggling. The way Meg Lanning dropped that word, I reckon that was a bet.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah.
So somebody said,
I bet you can't work grouse
into the tournament. Oh, well, mission accomplished there for Meg Lanning. Probably the most successful moment of the day for her to get that in there.
I reckon.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket. We just have time to cover the end of the world, the sad end.
The sad end.
Of the World Cup. That was such a wonderful tournament.
It was a great tournament. As we mentioned in the opener there, all the other nations had probably the best World Cup ever. I mean, I've been writing a book on World Cups, and
as the group stages go, they're often, you know, a little bit, there's a few that, you know, you just go, I wish I hadn't watched that. But every single one of them was really quite exciting.
Yeah, they just piled on close game after close game after close game, and Australia were just kind of hovering above it all, just, you know,
looking down on them all,
just saying, isn't this adorable how they're all playing? And eventually they decided, all right, we'll come down and win this and toddle off. But if you take them out of the equation, if you Australia maths the World Cup, it was a fantastic tournament.
Yeah, that's right. It probably would have been a better final between South Africa and England. Although, the semi-final was pretty good.
It was, yeah. They should have just given Australia the trophy after the group stage. They said, look, that's fine. You guys, off you go, and then just let make the rest of the competition be, you know, South Africa, England, West Indies, and India. Let them fight out a semi-final and final. That would have been a fantastic way to end it.
That would have been good.
Yes. So going into the final, we did have England who went on a bit of a winning streak at the end there to make the semis.
Yeah.
We had Danny Wyatt. She labelled Sophie Eccleston unplayable, and I think that was probably a mistake to make that, because didn't that just rile the Australians up a bit, don't you
think?
Yeah,
it's a bit of an Ambit claim there. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I guess she meant that England couldn't play her in the nets, maybe. Maybe that's what she meant. But yes. Australia could play her, right?
Australia were able to play her. They took her for more than 70 runs in both times she bolted them in the World Cup. So, yeah, so not quite as unplayable as advertised.
Well, sad news for Rachel Haynes, who broke a record for the most runs in a Women's World Cup and then only held it for, what, an hour?
Yes. Well, she made the foolish error of getting out and letting Alyssa Healy continue to bat. She should have run Healy out or something if she wanted to keep the record. Because as we mentioned, Healy kept going. She finished on 170, easily the highest ever score in a World Cup final. Men or women, it just went past. Adam Gilchrist held the record. He was 149. She just motored past that and just kept going. So Australian wicketkeepers, pretty good in World Cup finals, apparently.
Mm.
Especially the ones at the top of the order.
Yes, definitely. You've got to be a keeper. Or Nat Siver.
Or Nat Siver.
Who also batted pretty well. But what about Elise Perry's performance?
She was fantastic. She missed the semi-final, of course. She had some kind of back injury, but she was past fit to play in the final. They did... They did say she was going to play as a batter only, but after the game, she cheekily mentioned that, I did mark out my bowling run-up just in case it was needed. It turned out not to be needed. But, yes, she was past fit to sit padded up and applaud the various milestones as Healy and the rest
Pretty
of
Pretty strenuous work, actually, during that innings from Alyssa Healy. A lot of work to do there.
Could easily have thrown her back out applauding those. So great work from her.
And we do know that, Elise Perry famously, to be past fit, only needs like one out of four limbs to be working.
I think so. Yeah, she's played at least one World Cup final with a broken ankle. So
anyway, at least she got into this one after missing out on the T20 World Cup final. Right?
Yeah, she got a little bit of a hit right at the death and did pretty well. I think she scored 20 off 11 balls or something, and then she had a lovely little run around in the field. She ran around to the boundary and threw balls in and had a grand old time. Chased one to the boundary and hurled herself over the Toblerone there, almost probably foolishly.
Yes,
no need to do that. At least calm down.
Yeah. Well, another bit of sad news is that Australia didn't manage to smash the record final score. It was 3 for 359.
Yeah, 2 for 359. Yeah, so Australia, that was the 2003 World Cup. That's Australia batted first in that one and set India, it was, an enormous total. And much like this match, the team batting second were pretty much out of it after the first innings, except Nat Siver is not a student of World Cup history. She didn't seem to realise that England were doomed. She came out and batted like a maniac.
She's seen England do this before, come back and from an impossible position, right?
It was one of the great deluded World Cup innings of all time, I think. She kept batting and batting, and
we got a bit nervous, didn't we? A few points.
Like all logic said, I mean, as well as she's doing, and she's doing incredibly well, it's just too big. Like no batter on earth could possibly chase this down. But then again, we were at that Headingley game where we thought the exact same thing about Bowden Stokes. Oh, this is a jolly entertaining romp from Ben. He's not going to win, of course, but he's having a good time. So there was a little bit of a flashback there with Siver, just maybe? No.
That's right. Pretty sure she had a mind meld with Stokes at that point.
Yes, possibly.
Anyway, she was wrong. England were bowled out. 285 they made. Mm. And we now see Australia being the T20 and ODI World Cup champions.
Yes, so that's lovely for them. They've reunited the silverware. They've done that before, but they are the greatest ever women's cricket team, I think that's safe to say.
Easy to say.
Yeah.
And pretty good for your writing too, because you're writing the book on World Cups. Mm. And this is handy little milestone.
Yes, I had this one kind of just penciled away for a long time. I was like, well, if Australia can win this one, it will wrap up one of my chapters quite neatly. But I wasn't 100% sure. I was like 90% sure. All right, this chapter's pretty much done. And then they tied it all up nicely for me. So thank you very much, ladies.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so this episode is sponsored by my Patreon. So that's where for... lazy $3 a month. You can catch up on everything I've been doing over on Patreon. So it's the Pakistan-Australia series, all the matches of, the Australian half of the World Cup. It's got discount codes for books and games and everything else in my online store, the full Ashes screenplays, everything. So please go up and sign up to my Patreon.
And the best thing about Dan's Patreon is that there's no decisions to be made once you get there. There's no reading through of all the incentives and the blah, blah level and this level and that level and three levels in and spend more and spend less. It's just a flat rate.
Yep, flat rate. Sign up. You pay a pittance a month and you get all the stuff. Plus, there'll be new stuff coming in April just as soon as I get this book out. So stay tuned for all that.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid and stupid.
So this is Cat's Gambling Corner. Isn't it good to hear Warnie again? Being naive and stupid.
Yep.
Anyway, last IPL we did cover, you had this massive convoluted multi-leg bet that we covered.
Yeah, I think it had nine legs. this was for the IPL. I actually was too slow this time. I didn't have time. I didn't remember to go on and put on a convoluted multi-leg bet and missed my chance and the matches started. So this time around, I did put a bet on.
Yep.
But this time it's one leg only.
One leg only. A one-legged bet.
So. A one-legged bet. Yes. Yeah.
So, I think you got distracted because the World Cup was going on in the meantime and the IPL just kind of snuck up on us, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not a very good gambler.
Yes.
I'm a pretty pathetic gambler.
Very amateur gambler.
I'm very amateur. I've only put on a $10 bet at this point.
All right. So, but we still are going to track this bet throughout the IPL, right?
Yeah. Could be a little bit quicker, the segments on this. So I put a bet on Glenn Maxwell to be the top tournament run scorer.
Uh-huh.
I think I might have had a bet on this last time. So I put the bet on at $10. And the reason I put this one bet on is because he's at pretty long odds.
Mm. What were his odds? His odds 20 to 1?
51 to 1. Hell. So it means, you know, there's at least, you know, 50, possibly 100 players with shorter odds than him. But the reason he's, you know, such long odds is because he's missing the first three matches. Shouldn't be an obstacle to Glenn Maxwell.
Nah.
I don't think it's an obstacle. I still think it's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
So anyway, the top and just to prove this, I went and had a look. So people have a very short memory. So whoever scored the most runs in the first match currently has the shortest odds. It's
But because
that's a good guy.
The tournament only goes for two or three matches, right? So one match is enough to give you a massive head start.
You would think so. No, it's 20-something matches for every team. No, anyway, so Ishan Kishan has scored 135 runs from two matches and Joss Butler scored 135 runs from two matches. They're both at $6.50.
Yep.
Terrible bets. Don't take those bets. Of course, Virat Kohli. Virat Kohli. Always short odds.
Yep.
He's currently 29th on the run scoring tally. He's only made 53 runs so far. He's 7-1. Don't bet on any of those
never
people.
Never bet on Kohli.
Never bet on Kohli. Anyway, they have short odds. Do you want to know where Maxwell is currently on the list?
Equal 800th? I don't know how many players are in there.
He's actually currently equal 99th.
Equal 99th? Oh,
because 98 other players have scored runs so far, and he has zero runs because he's not even there yet.
Yep.
In fact, he is there. He's quarantining.
Mm-hmm.
So he's equal 99th with zero runs. We will keep track of this. I'll tell you who's above him. Tim Southey has one run. Trent Bolt has one run.
All right.
So does Nathan Coulter-Nile.
Yep.
But Bolt does have a strike rate of 100, so he might be difficult to catch.
He could easily get away from him.
Yeah. At the moment, my bet's not looking very good.
Yeah.
But we presume my odds will improve. My odds will remain the same for winning that bet, but the odds of him getting to the top. So anyway, he's played no matches. He's missed the first three. He was on his honeymoon, but also... I think Cricket Australia just said, look, no one's available till the 6th of April.
Yep.
So there's no Australians really performing or no contracted Australians performing just yet. Yes. And I would say beware the newly married player.
Definitely. So he's currently 99.
Equal 99th with, I don't know, everyone else who's never scored a run yet.
Yeah. So he's currently 99. Maxwell, smart bet, I say.
That's pretty good.
Camp Bowl, Camp Throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Mueller reward.
Okay, this is the Mueller Award, where we award the silliest, most ridiculous, the most entertaining, all of the above aspects of cricket over the past week. And do we have any nominations?
Yes, we do. And usually we try and talk about things that we haven't previously mentioned. Mm. We have mentioned some ridiculous things, including massive hotcakes and others. Yes. But this is other information. But Meg Lanning is getting a nomination.
She is,
Not for saying grouse, but for being a bit cold in Wellington and rugging up with a Cricket Australia jumper on, but she didn't really have her arms in the sleeves or...
No, she seemed to have put it on backwards. She'd put her sleeves in the wrong end of the arms and just kind of had the torso portion dangling in front of her. So I was watching this on the telecast. She was just sitting on the bench at the time and I thought... What are you doing, Meg? So I tweeted that, you know, the people bang on and on about the professionalism of this Australian cricketing side, but Meg Lanning can't even dress herself, which is, you know, a decent enough tweet. But it was liked by Anna Lanning, so you'd think Anna would know. So I'm going to say this is just how Meg Lanning usually dresses herself.
Yeah, it's been verified. Mm. I think that's fantastic. So, let's give that a good thumbs up as a nomination. We also have another nomination. This one was from, was this from the final match that South Africa played?
Yeah, this was the final match of India and South
the
Africa.
Group stage.
So this was the final match of the group stage where India needed to beat South Africa to make the finals and knock the West Indies out. South Africa were already in the finals. And this is Deepti Sharma's no ball on the second last ball of the match.
Ooh, it was awful to watch.
Yes, Mignon Dupree was caught in the deep and South Africa therefore needed a four off the final ball to win. And... but no, in fact, television replay said, actually, come back. That was a no ball. And so she had the no ball, the free hit. She wasn't out. Everything suddenly back in South Africa's favour. And India had basically doomed themselves. So Deepti Sharma's slightly extended front leg step is our nomination, I think.
Yeah, not great. I mean, there were other things in the Indian match that would have contributed to their loss. But you always remember the last one, don't you? It's a recency bias. Yep. Yeah. So very sad for poor Sharma.
Mm.
Anyway, so we have also, we're nominating, I think, we got nominating Paul Collingwood. He doesn't make it into the Mullers very often.
Not for many, many
years. What's he done?
Well, Paul Collingwood has come out. England lost the Test Series to the West Indies, so congratulations to the West Indies, of course, for beating England. Paul Collingwood came out and expressed amazement that people were questioning Joe Root's captaincy. Paul Collingwood, I think, may be the most easily amazed person in history.
Yep.
If he ever sees any kind of stage magic, he'll just be, oh my God, how are they doing this? They've sawed a woman in half. Arrest these men.
Yep.
But yes, so Paul Collingwood.
Good to see some innocence.
Yeah, so everyone else is basically saying, Joe Root, give it a rest, mate. Mm-hmm. You've tried really hard. We appreciate it. But time for somebody else to have a crack, I think. And Joe Root's keen. He's keen to keep going. And Paul Collingwood's standing right behind him.
Yeah. All right, well, we have a nomination also for a robot, or maybe Steve Smith.
Yes.
Because Australia, of course, won the third test against Pakistan.
Yeah, we kind of missed that. We didn't get around to covering that.
No, it was fairly routine that Australia won the series. But anyway, Steve Smith got angry at a robot.
Yes,
along the way.
Yeah, he was batting and he managed to see it somehow out of the corner of his eye because Steve Smith has like at least 180 degree vision. Possibly 270 degree
vision. Well,
better
peripheral vision than carry, at least.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, so he saw the robot and he played a defensive shot, then pointed angrily at the robot. He unfortunately didn't say this.
Stop moving the robot!
But that was the general feeling. Stop moving the robot.
Is
the policy. So he's joined Stuart Broad's crusade against robots.
Yep.
They will fight for the humans in the upcoming wars.
Or the multi-format World Cup. Mm. We should have robots versus people.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for that as well. That would be fantastic.
That would be really good. Then we could have Alistair Cook and two or three robots and a spider cam.
Yep. And but sticking with the Pakistan series, we also have the awards at the end of the tournament or end of the series. We have the Benno Kadir Trophy, which is quite large, right?
Yeah, it's massive. It's bigger than Steve Smith, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, certainly bigger than Dave Warner. I think Dave Warner slept in it that night after winning the trophy. It's about 1,000 times as big as the Ashes urn, and hence 1,000 times as important.
Yep.
So Australia rightfully celebrated winning it, but it wasn't just the trophy that Australia were rewarded with.
Well, as always, I think I remember this from the last time we played Pakistan. There's always everyone gets an award, right? Yeah, there's a massive check given out for various reasons to almost every player.
So yes, you typically get the batter of the match, the bowler of the match, the fielder of the match, the best catch, the player of the match. But the one that I did enjoy was Cameron Green, who was all rounder of the match. He may have been the only all rounder playing in the match.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how Pakistan
was there a keeper of the match?
Yes, there was. It was a tie, so that was lovely. Anyway, Cameron Green came up to accept his award at the presentation ceremony, all round of the match. And as Jack Cronin on Twitter said, Cameron Green now with more Invirex solar energy all rounder of the match awards than Stokes, Flintoff, Callis, and Sobers combined.
Yes.
Massive for his legacy.
Fantastic.
So good work, Cameron Green.
He also won tallest player of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So yes, so Cameron Green there. Congratulations to him. Mm-hmm. And is he our final nomination? Do we have any others?
Yes, no, that is it. So who do you think is going to win?
Let's have a look this week. I do enjoy Meg Lanning not being able to put a jumper on. I like to think that it's probably the one chink in her armour. Maybe the other teams should have been suggesting to her, why don't you come out and bat with a jumper on? And that may have been the turning point.
Could be.
I mean, maybe all the Australian women don't know how to wear jumpers. And that could be the key to bringing them down to the rest of the pack. So I'm going to give it to Meg Lanning this week.
For a costume-related muller.
Yes.
And that is the end of Can't Ball, Can't Throw for this week. You've been listening to Dan Libke, who's at Lib Cricket. Go and follow him. I'm sure you already do. And you've been listening to me, Kat Jones, at CricketBackCat, and you can follow us on at CartBowlThrow. And nobody goes to Facebook anymore, so we can just ignore that.
Yes, but if you do go to Facebook, search for CartBowlCartThrow, you'll find us there. And we will see – well, we won't see you next week. We're off next week. But the week after that, we'll be back with another episode.
If there's some cricket. If there's some.
Social Podcast Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.